Joshua chapter number 4, and we're going to read this. I actually kind of talked about a little bit about this one morning on our trip. We had devotions that we did every day, and I mentioned this just a little bit, but I want to go and maybe just challenge everybody in here, because here's the thing. Everybody in here has seen God do something in your life at some point in time. You've seen God work in some way. You've seen God do something special, and that's true of all of us in here. And so I want to, because of that, I want to challenge you with something. So Joshua chapter number 4, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bare the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day." Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, thank you for the health. Thank you for the safety you give us this morning. Thank you for the ability that you give us to come here. Lord, we do not even deserve that. And Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you for allowing me to try to serve you, Lord, in some capacity. And Lord, thank you for that opportunity. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning. Help us as we look at your word and look at several different things in your word. And Father, I pray that you would just help us to take some lessons out of your word, Lord. I know this has been good for me as I kind of studied this some. And Father, I pray that you would just help us and be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have the children of Israel. They've just crossed the Jordan River. And if you remember, the priests went and they stood in the middle of the Jordan River. And when their feet touched the water separated so the children of Israel could go across. And the Bible says in verse number 1, "It came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan." So everybody's already passed. So you've got a miracle that happened, and you're on the other side of this miracle. Am I right? Okay, so we've had something amazing happen, and now we've gone and we're on the other side of this miracle. And God comes down, and God speaks to Joshua, and he said, "Joshua, I want you to take 12 men, and I want you to get 12 stones, and have them, you know, they're large stones. They had to carry them on, the Bible says they carried them on their shoulders, so probably fairly decent-sized stones. So they got 12 stones from where the priest stood, and they took them with them. And they just didn't pile them up right there, okay? Bible says they took them, and they put them where they lodged that night, okay? So they carried them for some distance. And then they set them down, and they built basically a memorial, something that they had there to remember things by, if you would. And I want to just challenge, basically the gist of the challenge, the thought is this morning is, God has done something special in all of our lives. And we should not forget those things, but we should leave something there that when you look back that you can say, okay, this is something special that God has done in our lives, and this is a memorial, this is something that we can remember. And what was one of the things that, one of the main reasons that God told Joshua to do this? He said, "Joshua, you need to do this not necessarily for you, you need to do this for your children. You need to do this for your children." And you know, I think many times we've seen, you know, you folks have seen some, you've seen more things in your life than I have in mine. Just simply because the amount of years that God has given you, okay? So there are times in life when we need to take some time. You know, that wasn't, you know, they could have, You know, that took 12 men a little bit of time to do, didn't it? Okay, it wasn't just like, oh, everybody just leave and just go on. And the Bible says, I don't know how things like this happen, but the Bible says, and they are there unto this day. I've always wondered about that. You know, when the Bible says, I wonder if something is there unto this day, I wonder if it is there to this day. I don't know. You know, maybe it's all covered over with sand or whatever out there, but I wonder if it's still there to this day. Okay? And if we could find the place where the children of Israel crossed over Jordan and they were to do an archaeological dig there, you know, it would not surprise me if we found 12 stones that were piled up in a certain spot. And you know what those stones were? It was for a memorial for the children of Israel. You know, we were coming up on the 4th of July, and we think about our country, and we think about the things that men of our country have given their lives for to preserve the freedoms that we have today. And you know what we do in memorial of those things? We build things. We make monuments. We make things out of stone, out of granite that, you know, the weather can't deteriorate, that the sun can't deteriorate. And we set those things. Why? So that our kids don't forget about it. So that when our generation is gone and passed, our kids can still go and they can still learn about it. We were out in Window Rock, Arizona, and at Window Rock, and you probably remember the structure there at Window Rock from when Brother Nez was here, but it's basically a hole in a rock, and that's the reason it's called Window Rock, okay? And but there's a memorial there, and the Navajos are very proud. If you go back, I think I believe it was World War II, there were a group of Navajos that were they called them code talkers, okay? Code talkers. And it was an unbreakable language that the Germans and everybody, they could not break that code because it was a different language. And basically the Navajos were just talking to each other. They were using their native language to talk to each other, and they couldn't break that. Well, the Navajos are very, very, I mean, if you look at all the things, you know, we went to a museum and we went to some different things, and they are very, very proud of, and rightfully so. There's nothing wrong with that. They're very proud. That was something that their nation, the Navajo people, gave to the United States of America. What was their service? We talked to a lot of different people while we were on the reservation that were very patriotic, very patriotic. We took a lot of the Grace Will Lead Me Homes with us, and we were able to pass those out. But very patriotic people. You always have that element that because of the nature of where they live and the reservation, they don't like the United States government, okay? Now, I think it could be argued either way, honestly. Were they mistreated at some point? Yes. But at some point, you got to get over it. And, you know, me and you, honestly, and I'm just saying this, we pay for those people to live there. We do. Okay, your tax dollar pays for their education. Your tax—it's a welfare society. That's what it is. The reservation is almost exclusively welfare. Okay, so you pay for them to be there. All right, you pay for their education. You pay for their food. You pay for that stuff. Okay, but you also—and this is kind of a side note—you go and look at their society. I'm just saying this. You look at a society that is a welfare society. And then you come back to Indiana and look at a society that's a capitalist society or type of an area, you would be very great. They are in poverty out there. Poverty. Okay? So don't tell me that, you know, relying on the government is better for us. That's baloney. Okay? But that was my rant for the day. All right? But as far as patriotic, there are some that are patriotic. Very patriotic, okay? And but you know what they had there? I kind of got off track, but they have, they're right beside Window Rock. They have a memorial, and it's like a bronze statue, basically, of a Navajo code talker in the uniform and everything. And you know what that is? That is a memorial, okay? All those men are probably dead, and they're gone. So you know the only way that we will remember them are by setting up things in remembrance of them. You know, the wall, everybody talks about the wall that's got all the names written on it. You know, why is that wall there? So that my children and that myself, we can go and we can look at names on that wall of men that have given their lives for our country. That's why we do those things. Okay? It's a memorial. And that's exactly what God told Joshua to do here. He said, Josh, I want you to build this memorial. Several times in the Bible, there's 144 times in the Bible that God references remembering certain things. So I think it's important for us to remember. You know, God tells us to remember things that you shouldn't do. There's a place in the Bible in Deuteronomy. He said, remember what Miriam did in the way. Think about that. What about this one? Remember Lot's wife? You ever think about that? What did she turn into? A pillar of salt. You think about that. You know, for a while, I mean, a pillar, when I think of a pillar, I think of something that is a structural object. Now, it was of salt, okay? And salt deteriorates when it's rained on. But you know, if it's a pillar of salt, there was a certain time that Lot could go out there and his family could go out there, I think, and they could look out there and there was a pillar. Something standing out in the desert of salt. Hey, that's your mom. Sorry, that was bad. But it is. You know what it was? Remember Lot's wife. And there's things that happen. Bible's talked about Miriam. Remember what Miriam did. And you know what that's talking about? That is talking about when Miriam rose up against the man of God and God judged her for it and gave her leprosy. And that's why God said, remember what Miriam did. Okay? And different things like we could go, I don't have time to go through all the things. But there are times, and one of the things I told the young people while we were kind of on this trip is you need to remember what God has done for you on this trip. You need to remember. Make a memorial of it. We had that B1 of 501 on 5-01. And you know what Pastor said when we did that? He said, I want everybody to take one of the little buttons. Remember the lapel things that we had, the little pins? He said, I want you to keep one of those, or I want you to keep one of the cards. Why? To fill your junk drawer? No, not necessarily. But it's so you take one, and when your kids say, Mom, what's this for? That you can say, hey, this is what God did for us here. We have a case out here in the fellowship hall. And I hope every once in a while you take some time and just look at some different things in that case. Why is that case there? You know, some churches, some schools, they have trophy cases of trophies that their kids have won. We don't have that, okay? Quite honestly, I'm thankful for that. You know what we have? We have a different kind of trophies of battles that were won, of spiritual battles that were won, of things that were done, of newspaper articles, of groundbreaking that this church has done that you folks were a part of. That is a memorial. And why do we do that? It's so that we can remember those things, so that we don't lose those things. We lose so much of our history because we don't memorialize it. You know, the things that we remember, there has to be something that reminds us about that because we all have, I have a bad memory, okay? You know why we make picture albums? It's to go back and remember things. Because we don't always remember. You know, I love it when the kids take, you know, cameras are so... Everybody's got a camera on their phone anymore. You know, that's the way everybody takes pictures. You know, nobody has cameras hardly anymore. But everybody takes pictures on their phone. And it's so neat when, you know, the kids will get together, the young people get together 2 or 3 years down the road, and they'll start looking at pictures. And they'll be like, hey, remember this, and remember that, and remember how much fun this was. That's good for them. Because when you stop remembering, you stop being thankful. And when you stop being thankful, you stop repeating what you did before. You know why we have unpatriotic Americans? Is that because they don't remember what people have given for their freedom. That's why we have unpatriotic Americans. If you study history, you cannot help but be thankful for what men have given their lives for our country. But when you stop looking at it, when you stop thinking about it, you don't care. Okay? So it is important for us to remember. I don't want to challenge you this morning. I guess the one thing I want to challenge you is to remember what God has done in your life. Remember the victories that you've won. Remember the times when you've been on your knees and nobody could help you but God, and God came through for you and God helped you. Do you remember that? Or have you forgotten it? Because it is easy to forget. Have you ever taken something and I don't want to be sacrilegious here, but have you ever, when God has done something special for you in your life, have you ever done something meaningfully physical? Well, God answered my prayer and then we just forget about it. There's places that I've prayed about things that I still remember the place that I prayed about it. Why? Because to me that was sacred ground. That was something special there. And it was something that God did in our lives. And we have to make memorials. And I honestly think physical memorials are something important. Physical. Not just a memory, because what happens with memories? We lose them, don't we? But something physical will always remind us. We took the young men and we climbed up on top of Window Rock. Brother Val went with us, and Pastor actually beat us up there. We had somebody tell us, he said, you go to the left. Actually, it was Brother Nez. He said, go around to the left-hand side of Window Rock. And we're like, okay, well, you know, Brother Nez he's the man out there, you know. So we're like, well, all right, we'll go around. We'll come to find out, Pastor was talking to a guy that was selling some jewelry and stuff down at the bottom. And this guy told Pastor, he said, there's no way to get up Window Rock going that way. There's cliffs. You can't get up there. Well, that was nice to know. Thank you. But we managed. We walked quite a distance. We walked halfway almost to the backside of the mesa before we found a place where we could scramble up to the top. And then we had to backtrack all the way across. So there, it was possible. Okay? And it took us, I don't know, probably an hour, Brother Val. I'd say at least an hour to get up to the top. And Pastor, this guy, the same guy that told Pastor it was impossible, he's like, yeah, you can go around the other way. He's like, it's about 15 minutes. Thank you. Thank you very much. But, you know, so we finally see Window Rock. And we see this guy crawling up the top. We're like, who is that? And it was Pastor. He beat us up there. It was kind of funny. He was pretty happy he did that. So made him feel better. But we were up on top, and I told the guys, I said, guys, I want you all to pick up a rock. Pick up a rock. Now, there's a lot of rock up there. That's all it is rock. Okay? Rock and sand. Okay? And you know, I had all the guys pick up a rock, and I picked up one. And it's mostly sandstone. And this is the rock I have. Just a little rock. And it's sandstone, like I said. And I scratched 617 into it. 617. June 2017. You know what this is? This is a memorial. This is something that I told all the guys. I said, guys, hang on to that. It's just a rock. But you know what it is? It's more than a rock. It's meaningful of 9 days that we spent doing something special. That's what it is. You know, I had a drawer in my dresser. And my mom always, she hated that drawer. But it was things that I had made or things that I had done that was, you know, kind of neat to me, okay? And I've always liked working with my hands and doing different, I don't know, outdoor type stuff. And I had made all kinds of stuff. I mean, you name it, it was in there. Knives I'd made, some weird stuff that had, you know, yeah, it's, you can ask her sometime. She'll tell you all about it. But you know what all those things were? It was different memorials. And I didn't know all this. But it was things I thought was really neat that I had stuck away. You know, I had stuff from Bill Rice Ranch when we were at Bill Rice Ranch. You know, little things that really, to everybody else, you would have just thrown in the trash. But to me, at that time, it was a big deal. And you know what it was? Every time I finally cleaned it out after I got married, and my wife told me I had to throw most of it away. So I lost all those memorials. I did. I mean, my mind is blank. I was scarred because of that. I'm kidding. Most of it was junk. But, you know, I had to throw most of it away. But, you know, my sister was actually there helping us, and she was just laughing hysterically because we were sharing memories together. She, you know, I had a snake skin in there of a snake. It was an actual snake skin, not just like a shedded snake. It was one that I had skinned, and I had tanned the snake skin on it. And we were talking about that snake, and she remembered when I'd killed that snake. And I mean, she was young when we did it. And I had skulls in there, animal skulls that I had taken. Have you ever seen those bobblehead things that sit on your dash and kind of bobble? Well, I had set a skull, I was like a raccoon skull, on top of a spring so it'd bobble. And then I had glued like marbles into its eye sockets. So I had this, you know, this thing that was bobble around. That was my bobblehead thing. I had like a couple of those in there, you know. And she's like, "You are not taking that to our house." And I'm like, "Okay." But, you know, I remember doing those things. I remember I had a knife thing in there that was made out of the locust trees that have the real long thorns out of it. I remember my dad was picking corn one night, and I was getting tired. I didn't want to sit in the combine anymore. This is when I was young. So he's like, "All right, you can go outside and just, you know, don't get in front of the combine, obviously." And so I went out there, and I made this knife thing out of a corn cob and one of the long thorns, and I had put resin and stuff on it to glue it all together, and I had that in there. And you know what? I still remember that night when I was riding with my dad in the combine, and I still remember where we were at, and I still remember getting out and doing that. You know what that was? It was a memorial. It was something I can still think about and go back and, "Oh yeah, I remember doing that." I had stuff in there from Master's Club when I was in Master's Club. Badges and a vest. You know what that is? It's a memorial. And if we're not careful, we forget about the things that God has done in our lives. We forget about the answered prayer. We forget about the crossing of the Jordans that we have. And because of that, I want you to go over to Revelation. Because we forget these things, many times we would do what I would say is we leave our first love. We leave our first love. Because when you're excited about serving God, you see God working in your life, it's easy to go to church. It's easy to go soul winning. It's easy to serve God when God is working. But sometimes we leave our first love. I want you to look at Revelation chapter number 2. We're going to look at verse number 1. Bible says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted." These are all good things. He's telling them, "Hey, you've done a really good job in the past." Because then look at verse number 4. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy" what? "First love." Do you remember what it was like when you first met your wife or you first met your husband, and that first love that you would do almost anything for them? You know, you write them notes or get them flowers or whatever you did. Do you remember that? But then, you know, 10 years down the road, you know, you don't write notes. You don't get flowers. You don't do those things that you used to. You know what that's called? That's called leaving your first love. You know, my wife still likes it when I write her a note and leave it on the counter before when I head out the door. My wife still likes it when I bring home a king-size chocolate candy bar. She even likes it. I don't do it a lot. She even likes it when I buy her flowers. Okay? She likes those things. Somebody said this once, you you can keep somebody the same way you got somebody. Think about that. You know why a lot of divorces happen? Maybe with good people, two good people, is because they've left a first love. They've forgotten what it was like to be Twitter-pated, if you would. All right? They've forgotten that. And so because they've left that first love, I love to see, it seems like, especially when older couples, there's kind of a morphing thing that goes on when you get married. I've noticed this at least, we've not been married very long, honestly, but I've noticed this even with us. When we first got married, I opened the door for her all the time. And then when you have kids, it's like it's every man for himself. You know what I mean? I mean, you've got, kids you're trying to get out of the car and, or bag, you got three diaper bags and three kids and you're trying to get everything out of the car and it's like, you just get your own door. You know what I mean? But it's neat when older couples, I watch some of the older couples, especially here, the guy still goes around and opens the door for her. You know what that is? It's kind of a returning to that first love. You still see them hold hands together. When we're praying, used to when we was in church, when we were first married, we didn't hold hands all the time, while we was praying or whatever. Then you've got, two kids between you and your wife, and you're constantly trying to, even if they're not between you, you're always, closing their eyes or making sure their heads are bowed or, squeezing them on the top of the head so they know that they're in trouble. It's hard to do. But don't ever forget that first love. And serving God's the same way. Sometimes we forget about those times when you were first saved and you had to tell everybody about Jesus, but then it got commonplace. When was the last time you told somebody about Jesus? When was the last time you went and honestly went soul winning and went door knocking? When was the last time I'm physically not able to. Okay. But when was the last time you got a prayer answered that nobody else knew about? You know what that is? That's returning to your first love. Look at verse number... So leaving that first love is in verse number 4. Look at verse number 5 in Revelation chapter 2. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Okay? So we have a formula here. All right? And I gave it to those that were with us on the trip. But there's three things here. First of all, you got to remember. You have to remember. That's the important thing about having a monument. Having some, I told the young men later, I said, guys, I hope that you keep this and that when you decide that you don't want to serve God, because I think all of us have been in that place where like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm sick of it. Okay? Maybe you haven't been. And I'm just a carnal person. But to me, there's been times in life it's like, why am I doing this? Why am I spending my Saturdays visiting when these people don't want to come to church anyway? Why am I giving my money to the church? I could use 10% of, 10% of my income plus 10% of my income. I could use that for some stuff. Is this whole God thing really real? I don't know about you, but those thoughts have gone through my mind. And I'm just being transparent. Those thoughts have gone through my mind before. Why do I spend an extra day a week, a Sunday, every day a week? I could do a lot on an extra day. Okay? But so why am I doing this? You know what I need? I need those things in my life that, okay, this is why I'm doing this. It's for these young people. It's for the people that don't know. It's for about all those Navajo kids that got saved this week at Bible school. That's why we do this. But if we're not careful, we forget. So what God told these people here at Ephesus, he said, hey, you've done a good job. You've had a good record, but you've left your first love. So here's what I want you to do. First of all, you need to remember what it was like to serve God fervently. You need to remember what it was like. Hey, this could be practical in our marriages. You need to remember what it was like to be madly in love the first time. You need to remember that. And then the Bible says you need to repent. You know what repent means? Repent means a turning. Okay? Repent means to be going south and you turn and go back north. It means returning. Okay? So the Bible says remember and repent. So it means turn. So turn back, and then the Bible says, and redo the first works. Redo. So remember, repent, and redo. Three R's. It's easy to remember. Remember. All right? Remember, repent, and redo. So turn back. To go back to those times in life when you prayed beside the bed of your child when only God could help. Go back to those times when you prayed maybe about a business decision where you were at the bottom and only God could help. Remember those times. Remember the things that God has done here in our church. But you know what? We need to make memorials. Go back, flip through. Some of you I know have pictures. When was the last time you went and flipped through them and remembered what God has done in your life? I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget. Remember what it was like the day that you got married. I'm just being practical. Because everything, at some point, things just get stale. Why? Because a lot of times we don't go back and remember. And then we don't, oh, I remember that, but I don't want to redo that. No, go back and remember and then turn around and do it again. Hey, there's no reason that you can't see another revival like you've seen before. Is there? No. Well, I don't have the energy to do all I can. No, but there's some young people downstairs that they've got just as much, if not more, energy than what you've had at some point. But they need somebody to tell them, hey, this can be done and this is possible. It's happened before. And listen, it's up to the generation downstairs, honestly. It's up to that generation to see revival again. Every generation has to do it for themselves. But how can they experience something that they've never experienced before unless they get some prompting from an older generation? Some prayer support from an older generation. So go back to what God's done. Everybody's different. Everybody in here is different. Everybody's had different miracles that's happened in your life. So go back to those times and remember. Remember what God has done for us. Remember the blessings. Remember the trials. Those are the ones that a lot of times we want to forget. I don't want to ever go through that again. But sometimes if you remember going through it, sometimes you'll sympathize with somebody else that's going through it. Think about it, okay? Remember the times. Here's one last thing, and we'll be done. But remember the times you walked away from God. Why? Well, the Bible says, remember Miriam. Remember Lot's wife. Remember the times that you've walked away from God. Why should I remember those? Because when we remember those things and you can convey them to another young person, maybe you can help that young person forego that time in their life. Okay? Nobody likes sharing bad things that's happened because of the stupid things that we've done. But sometimes the young people need to know, hey, this is, pastor preached this message while we, and most of you have heard it, but about the devil's back door. Some of you have went in the devil's front door and you've been kicked out the devil's back door. And we've got a lot of young people are standing at the devil's front door right now, looking in and thinking, man, that looks pretty good. And you know the one thing that you can do to help them is to go stand by the devil's front door and say, hey, I remember what it was like to be in there, and you don't need to go in. So, yeah, it's hard to do. It's hard to be transparent a lot of times. But sometimes these young people need you to be transparent. Your grandkids need you to be transparent. You don't have to get into, you know, everything about your life of sin, but they need to know some stuff. There's two ways, I've started to say this, and I think it's true. There's two ways to learn things in life: by your personal experience or by someone else's experience. Think about it. That's two ways to learn. You can learn by doing it yourself, or you can learn by the way somebody else did it. It is always, I've never found it where it's not true. If you can learn by someone else's experience, you're always farther ahead.
Yes, sir.
Always. I don't care if it's building a house or the woes of sin. If you can learn by somebody else's experience, it's always better. Okay? And so something to think about. So remember, build a memorial. I challenge you to build a memorial. Build something for the future generations that they can look back and say, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, what's this for? You know, I don't know. My kids, none of my kids, Emily might a little bit, but none of my kids will remember this missions trip. None of them. If Emily does, it will be very little. So I'm serious. I plan on keeping this rock. As simple as and as silly as that sounds, I plan on keeping this rock. Unless my wife finds it and throws it away. Memorial. She is a memorial destroyer. That's what she is. All those things in my life, I've been scarred for life. My childhood was thrown away. Anyway. A memorial. But you know what? If my kids see this and, what is that? Hey, Dad, what is this? Here, sit down. Let me tell you about something. Let me tell you about a trip that we took. Let me tell you about some of the things that's happened. Let me tell you about this man and his family. If you never, Brother Nez, his testimony is out of this world. I won't tell you. It's not my testimony. I couldn't tell you. But honestly, on the brink of death, satanic oppression, amazing. And he went into things with the young people. And I'm thankful. You know what he did? He said, hey, these are some things I remember. Don't do this. That's what he did. And he spent, I bet he spent 20 minutes telling the young people, hey, don't do this. And this is why the Navajos need help. But you know what it was? It was more. And I can tell my kids, hey, this is what I can tell my grandkids, if God tarries that long, hey, this is what God did in 2006, June 2017. So build some things in your life. Be willing to share with the next generation the good times, but also be willing to share some of the bad things. Because they need it. I need it. I'm so thankful for men like Brother Don. You know, Brother Don, he's easy to talk to. And thank you for that. But you know what? He shares. You know, I've learned so much. He's willing. Don't be so close. Well, they just need to come for advice. Well, okay. I'm sorry. I don't always just come for advice. Especially if somebody's not willing to share. But I love it when and there's other men in here that if I have a question, I can sit down and say, hey, tell me about this. And you're willing to share. You're willing to share the good things, and you're willing to share the bad things. And thank you for that. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, help us to take a few things in life. Help us to remember what you've done in our lives. Help us to memorialize those things. God, I pray that we would be willing to go back and to pick up memorials and to pick up things and remember, and then go back to them and redo them. And Lord, I want to be better at this. I want to be better at remembering the things that you've done, remembering the souls that have been saved, remembering what it was like to be first married. And I want to have a better marriage because of it. Lord, I pray that you'd help me with this. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, help pastors he preaches this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.